Rosa Livingstone is a clinical hypnotherapist. She's in studio with us right now. Good morning, Rosa.
Hi, Rosa. Welcome back.
We've had you on before when you were treating Nir for her germophobia.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see all of you.
So, I mean, we know you're not a kook.
No.
As we mentioned, no, I'm not. I am not a kook.
No.
Because some people get weirded out when they hear things about like past lives and that kind of a thing.
I know.
But you work with a ton of people, putting them in a state of, in what would you call it, hypnotherapy?
Hypnosis.
Kind of putting them down, right?
Not putting them
down.
Putting them down.
Yeah, she doesn't put anybody down.
I don't put them down.
No.
Put them in.
Mm-hmm. Put them down. Mm-hmm. But you also work with them when they're in this state, them going back and exploring past lives.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that. I've never really talked to anyone about this before, but I'm really fascinated by it.
Yeah. Well, the whole theme was, do we really die?
Do we really die?
Do we really die?
There's a question.
Mm-hmm. Well,
how did you first get into this or realize you could do this? Or,
well, I've always had a spiritual belief in something outside of myself and my life now. The school that I went to, the Coastal Academy of Hypnosis in White Rock, actually teaches a component of transpersonal hypnotherapy. And transpersonal is dealing with people who have an issue that doesn't actually have a root in this life. It has a root in a past life. So I was trained to do it as a facilitator, and then it just, people come to me. They're all curious. Have I lived before? I have this feeling. I'm sure everyone's had a déjà vu. Like, oh my gosh, I have this feeling. I've been to Ireland, but I've never been there before. Or I met someone, and all of a sudden, it's like I feel like I know this person. I kind of looked at them, and they look familiar, but I've never met this person. And so, lots of what I do is more on curiosity. They come to me, they want to know whether or not this is a possibility.
So it's not really a digging issue, it's just something that they're curious about.
They're very curious.
And wondering
about
if they can get more information, if they can delve deeper inside of it.
Absolutely.
Mm.
So an example would be when you were working with Nira and her germophobia, you traced it back to when she was a young child, like 2 years
baby.
Old.
Yeah,
baby.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, when I'm working with them in this sense, and I never know where they're going to go, because I don't lead, I let the person's subconscious mind take me there. All of a sudden, you know, we might have stopped at a child or even in the womb, and then all of a sudden I'll just be checking to see, is this the root? Boom, they're somewhere else. I'm going to blow your mind. Sometimes they're in the in-between life state.
Whoa.
Oh.
That's pretty creepy.
Yeah, because Nira, as she was under hypnosis, she kept going back and back and back till she was a child.
Yep.
And so at some point you never find the root, so you're saying sometimes they just start talking about...
They'll all of a sudden find themselves somewhere else. And it happens a lot.
And have memories of things that you wouldn't know consciously when you're, you know, just, I would say, awake and just, you know, in your normal life. It's just when you get into hypnosis, then you really kind of tap into your subconscious mind. And you don't know.
Girl.
Oh, thank you. And you don't know where your subconscious mind will take you, right? Because it's very powerful.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
When you're in the subconscious mind state, when you're in the trance state, remember, that's when you dream. When you go to sleep, that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And every possibility, whether people think you're tapping into a collective unconscious or it's another portal, whatever it happens to be, you're open. And the energy in that state, you can tap into all kinds of other energy. And, you know, whether people will choose to believe that, you know, these are their memories, or there's a school of thought that it's a collective unconscious where you're tapping into someone else's memory that might have lived 200, 300 years ago, or it's something you've made up based on all of your experiences, the movies that you've seen, the books that you've read, and the subconscious mind just brings up this story. But it's almost like a metaphorical story. Whichever way you want to look at it, there's always a moral to the story. You'll find that, oh, you know what? That makes sense to me in what's happening now. So most people feel this, you know, I'm not sure if that was true or not, but boy, I'll ask them, how did it feel for you? It's the difference between watching a movie and actually feeling like you're in the movie. And that's how most people feel it. It's like all of a sudden they're in a movie and they see themselves and look down and go, oh my God, I'm a man, when really they're a woman today. It's quite interesting when that happens.
That would be freaky.
That would be interesting. I don't know if that's the word for it. Wow, strange. Do you think you've had past lives, and can you remember what I don't know if that's been maybe too personal of a question. But
no, not at all. Okay. I've had several. And I, you know, I've always felt I'm an old soul. Yeah, I've had several. I've been a Native American Indian. I lived in Egypt. I've had lives where I was wealthy. I've had lives where I was stinking poor. So, yeah, and that's why when I do this work, I can relate, because I've done it myself and kind of gone, what in heaven's name is that? But then it feels so right. It feels so, so real. So do we really die? I don't think so. But that's my opinion.
Personally, I mean, going into your opinion again, do you think that past lives do affect who we are today?
Absolutely, they do. When people have a deja vu or a feeling, and I actually work with them, there's always something that they've carried over. And we call it carrying it over on a soul level. So let's say we're spirit, spirit soul. When you are traveling from life to life, you carry unresolved issues with you. And there's lots of documented cases where people have, for instance, there's one with fibromyalgia, and she had developed this at a time when she had converted to Christianity. And that hadn't been her religion when she was being raised. She also had this fear of being judged. It was like, oh, you know, she'd fall apart. And when you work with someone like that, and having worked with someone like that, she regressed to a time where she was a Christian nun. And her fibromyalgia, now, I'm not telling her this, that, you know, this is the reason. The conscious and the subconscious, because they're both aware in this state, are making the connections. And what it was is Christ suffered. And she had to live a pious life. And so when she converted to Christianity in this life, her subconscious mind was going, you need to suffer. And here she's got all this physical pain. So are there roots? Absolutely, there are roots in what you're dealing with now, what you might have dealt with in the past. And the most amazing thing is that when you recognize people that were important to you in another life are people that you recognize in your life today.
Oh, I want to talk more about that in a second. I want to find out.
That's crazy.
Have you been walking around the streets and recognized someone?
Absolutely.
That's creepy. Okay, getting creepy now. Okay, we are back in studio with Rosa Livingstone, who's a highly sought-after clinical hypnotherapist here in the Lower Mainland. Her website is aloadoffyourmind.com. Maybe real quick, maybe explain what your clinic does, because you guys don't just deal with ghosts and past lives. I mean, that's an element you encounter, but that's not what you do all the time.
No, it's not. What I do is, obviously, I work with people with physical or emotional issues. They come to me to find the root of that issue, as for instance, Neera did. So it's a very clinical practice, and then I use techniques to get to the root of someone's issue and help them change their thoughts, change their belief system so that they heal. When the past life thing comes into play is, again, maybe 20% is what I think people...
20% of people, yeah.
20% of people that I deal with. And I also think it's intention, because I know that I'm open to that. If that's where we're going to go, I'm trained to handle it. I actually love it. 20% of people are the ones that, when we're looking for a root of their issue, they end up in another lifetime.
Wow.
Yeah. So, for instance, I'm working with a woman that she had a fear of choking. Even sometimes it got so bad that she'd be eating and she couldn't actually swallow her food. There was absolutely nothing wrong with her. I know, it is bizarre. Nothing wrong with her. And so, you know, we actually did go to her childhood as a baby choking on her formula. And we think, okay, well, that must be it. But never assuming. And I thought, okay, so I did what I needed to do. And boom, she was an African slave. And she was being pulled through her village, and they were all attached to one another by a rope around their necks.
Whoa.
And so she, poor woman, all of a sudden she's in this, and she's choking to death because they're pulling her along by her neck. Now, I want everybody to know that I know how to deal with that and pull you out of that so that you can watch that but not actually be in it.
Right.
It's just how it happens sometimes. You're at the last day of your life, which actually wasn't. But the subconscious mind will take you to the source of the issue, and that was where her choking came from. That feeling wasn't from this life.
Oh, that is so creepy.
I know.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I know.
There are a lot of people who are really into, like, The Secret, you know, that popular book, a DVD that was out a couple years ago with Oprah, and the belief that we were all kind of one big infinite energy source. So do you believe that, like, when you die, that, like, your energy just kind of moves on, or your same energy just continues to live and just moves in another body? Or, because I know you talked about, just off the air a second ago, Nero was like, talk about entities. And like, is that when another energy attaches itself to you, or how does that work?
Yes. Well, in my...
That's probably, I'm phrasing my questions all wrong because I don't really know a lot about this stuff.
You're
but
doing fine.
I was an idiot in a past life.
Well, not a big deal.
A savant.
Right. A savant.
Not surprised.
What happens in my belief and in my studies is that, you know, when you die, that physical carcass stays behind. It's our soul that continues to travel on. Now, where we go, I mean, there's all kinds of names for it, but we're just pure energy. And what happens is we're in an in-between life state, because there is that such a thing. And in that state, we look at what we still need to resolve as a spirit. And so you then decide, like you're writing your own play, when you're going to come back in. And you blow your mind. You choose your parents. You've already written this. Everyone that's in your life.
Are you sure
you live
we're choosing this? Because
yes,
I would like
are.
To rewrite a lot of things. Trust
Next
me.
Next time around, Nero.
Oh, God.
Next time around, you're going to be a little princess.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. So, entities. Well, I'm not going to say they exist or they don't. In my experience, I've seen it.
What is an entity, first of
an
all?
An entity is a soul that hasn't really passed on. It's still trapped in the between life state.
And some of them can be very violent?
Some can be malevolent, yes. Mm-hmm. And some are nice. So I've had experiences, not often, thank goodness, with both. So example of one, which was a good entity, was a woman who came to me and I'm trying to remember. The entity attached itself to her when her father died in 1969, and she was very, very close to her dad and very, very sad. Now, this entity, and we found this entity when I was working with her for some grief she was experiencing now, today, here, and this woman is in her 50s. And all of a sudden, she went to, without, you know, you never know where you're going to go, I keep telling you that, we went to a life where she's describing this 12-year-old little girl that lives in a subway underneath, well, it's a New York subway station. And this was in 1969. And she knew. She actually said it. She goes, this is not me. I don't know who this is. And so, brilliant that I am, I said, who are you? Who am I speaking to?
Perfect question.
And I got a name, Samantha. So I heard about Samantha's life and I asked her, what is it that, you know, you are doing for my client? She says, I'm protecting her. That's what my role was underground. I was little, so I was able to crawl into I was like a vigilante, and I would see where, you know, if anyone was coming so we wouldn't be discovered, because they lived underneath the subway station. She felt my client's grief so deeply, and she had just passed not long before, apparently. So she attached to my client to help her with her grief.
Oh, wow.
And I asked her, well, where do you reside? She goes, in her heart, of course. So it's really quite interesting from my point of view, going, okay, we're just going to go where we go. Mm-hmm. All right.
Wow.
And the other one was a meanie. It was sort of attached.
Tell us about the meanie.
The meanie, I was just working with a wonderful woman who is a colleague of mine and doing just a really nice relaxation, taking her, you know, to her higher mind and letting her just be in peace. And all of a sudden, she says there's, you know, she starts screaming, there's something attached to her foot.
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah, it was very weird. We struggled with this entity, her and I, in the subconscious state, because, you know, she's still aware, and I had to literally threaten this, whatever it was, that it had to go home, and I had to think on the spot and get it to go to the light. Just go to the light, you know, she doesn't need you. And she had, the next day, she says she couldn't walk because that foot, it had been pulling on that foot psychosomatically. She couldn't walk on that foot the next day.
Oh, that is so weird.
Wow.
I know.
That is weird.
Gives you the shivers.
Yeah, that's just walking that foot the next day.
Yeah, try being in the room.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Not so crazy, but it sounds it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But believable, too, which makes it crazy.
That's the best part of your job. You have to really look at people and just not think they're crazy, right?
Absolutely. No one's crazy. No, well, not in my office, anyways. It's just they come with whatever they come, and yeah. I'm just going to go wherever they go, and I'm not a fraidy cat. It's whatever, you know, just bring it on.
You don't judge.
Bring it on.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
We'll have to go to the website, aloadoffyourmind.com. Like you mentioned before, about 20% of people you put into a hypnosis seem to go into like a past life.
Yeah.
It's not like if you show up at your office, it's expected that you were a crazy, wild...
Absolutely,
you know,
not. No.
You know, lion tamer in a past life. It's just, you never know.
Well, that's something else. I mean, 20% of my clients then will regress, but I'm not working with them to specifically do past life. Now, I do that, and real busy in that area. People come, we call it experimental or experiential, rather, hypnosis, where they don't have an issue, they just have a feeling that they've lived before. And so I do a lot of that. And when they come, it's just, again, wherever they're going to go is where they go. And we talk about the experience. It's about a 2.5-hour deal. So we're there.
Wow.
And, well, because it takes a while to really get someone calm and relaxed into the hypnotic trance state, they have to be deeper than usual because we're going back, way back, to get those memories.
I remember after our sessions, I always felt as though I needed replenishment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because it was draining, but not in a bad way. It just felt that my whole body had worked. You know, my mind, my body, my soul, everything, you know?
It did.
So you couldn't do anything else the rest of the day.
No.
And you had a really good sleep that night, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, what I wanted to say, some people do think that they are someone, like, oh, I think I was Cleopatra. Well, we don't go looking for Cleopatra. I thought I'd say that.
That's
so
great.
Far, I've met Cleopatra 5 times.
Oh, wow.
Rosa Livingstone is the clinical hypnotherapist that worked with Nira to help her get over her germophobia, which was very interesting. We have a list of other problems, too, for Nira. Nira doesn't know that yet, but we're going to email that over to you.
Bring it on.
Sometime,
I'll take it.
Sometime, you know, in November.
I love working with her.
Aw, thank you.
Good. We have lots of work to do still. Mm-hmm. And I should come hang out sometime and try, because I've never
down.
Tried. I've never been put under before.
Put into.
Put under. Put under.
Yeah, I don't have
put
you down.
My arm.
Wait, are you sure you don't put people down? Are you sure?
Do you want me to?
Will you make an exception just for me?
Exactly.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
It's a fun to talk about that small part of what you do at your clinic, especially
Absolutely.
Around this time of year. It's kind of spooky
crazy,
and fun.
Crazy.
Rosa Livingstone, clinical hypnotherapist, and her website is aloadoffyourmind.com.